Okay, we've had enough social hour, so let's move into the study of the Word of God. And let's begin with the word of prayer. And the Holy Spirit is a true teacher. He will transfer what is honest and true into your soul. Let's begin with the word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, by our first birth, we are destined to sin, to rebellion, to hostility to you. And Heavenly Father, by our second birth, we are prone to obedience, love, and rejoicing. But Father, unfortunately, we can give over to our sin nature. And when we do, all of the horrible sins of our flesh nature come forward. You've given us a solution to all of them in the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, we're so thankful for your gracious plan and your gracious provision. Pray your Spirit will open our eyes to the use of the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen.
Okay, let's open the Bibles to Job chapter 5. Now, I think most of you know the story of Job. But let's just look at chapter 5. Let's jump right into a verse. Chapter 5, verse 2. Job chapter 5, verse 2. Let's start with verse 1. Call now. Is there anyone who will answer you? And to which of the holy ones will you turn? For anger slays the foolish man, and jealousy kills the simple-minded. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 34. Proverbs 6:34. We're not on? Maybe we need to change the batteries. I don't know. Is it still weak? If it's weak, let's change the batteries. I wish we were able to do that to our own selves. See if that helps. See if that helps. Nope. Oh, my goodness. When the little bunny doesn't help, we're in trouble. Well, let's go on, and hopefully it'll pick up and see if we can get recorded. But let's look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 34. For jealousy, it rages a man, and he will not spare in the day of vengeance. That's how powerful jealousy is. Now, in our study of spiritual love, the first negative that Paul mentions, spiritual love, is not jealous or envious. Why is that the first one? Well, this gives you an idea. Jealousy enrages a man. He will not spare in the day of vengeance. In other words, he will murder. He will do horrible things. Look at Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27, verse 14. Excuse me, verse 4. Verse 4. Wrath is fierce and anger is a flood, but who can stand before jealousy? You can stand before wrath, you can stand before anger, but you can't stand before jealousy. It'll destroy you. Now let's look at one of my favorite places of the strength of jealousy, Song of Solomon, verse 8, well, chapter 8. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 6. Shulamite woman speaking. Put me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death. Jealousy is as severe as Sheol. Its flashes are flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. So jealousy is severe in what it'll do to you. Now let's go to the New Testament. Look at Acts. We're going to look at what jealousy did in the early church and why Paul makes it the first negative of spiritual love. Acts chapter 5, verse 17. But the high priest rose up along with all his associates, that is the set of the Sadducees, and they were filled with jealousy. Now, if someone's filled with jealousy, and jealousy is the strongest thing to bring about revenge, guess what? Vengeance. Guess what Paul is headed for? He's going to seek to kill him. Now let's look at Acts 13. Acts 13, verse 45. Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. Well, that doesn't do too much for me. I'm sorry? Oh, a verse before it. All right. Okay. Let's start at verse 44 and kind of get the momentum since I've already messed up. The next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of the Lord. And that right there is going to arouse jealousy in the religious crowd when the whole city. Now, it doesn't mean nearly the whole, nearly not everybody in the city came. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul, and were blaspheming. Jealousy in religion is powerful. One of the handicaps of a lot of pastors is being jealous of other pastors. And what happens, you often try to hide it, deny it, conceal it, but it'll eventually reveal itself if you don't take care of it. One more. Let's look at Romans 13, 13. Romans 13, 13. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. So, what we're seeing here is how powerful jealousy is. So this takes us to 1 Corinthians 13. Spiritual love is not jealous, envious. And last Sunday morning we left off in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And what we're doing here, if you recall, we're looking at the creature, the only creature that spiritual love can flow through. And that creature is a spiritual believer, a believer filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's where we are in our study. Now, we have looked at, we're down to verse 14, but a natural man, well, let's start at verse 12. But we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit from the source of God, God the Holy Spirit. So we do not have the Spirit of the world, we have the Holy Spirit. In order that we might know the things freely, graciously, given to us by God. So God, first of all, has a package of goods, little goods he wants to give us. But first of all, he has to give us the Holy Spirit that he can reveal those things to us. Then we go to verse 13. Which things we also speak, mysteries of the church age. This is what Paul is here to teach. He's not teaching Old Testament stuff here. This is New Testament, not recorded in the Old Testament. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom that depend upon your IQ, but in those taught by Spirit, the Holy Spirit, combining, bringing together spiritual with spiritual. All right, what we have here is combining the Holy Spirit with spiritual. And this word is, the word spiritual, is the word pneumatikos. Now you're going to have to stay with me in dealing with the Greek here. Because this is going to be important to our study. This is with the spiritual, that's the Holy Spirit. With spiritual, that word is pneumatikos. Now pneuma is the word for spirit. Pneumatikos, P-N-E-U-M-A, T-I-K-O-S, P-N-E-U-M-A-T-I-K-O-S. That is combining the Holy Spirit with a spiritual being. Now, verse 14 takes up just the opposite of that. But a natural man, so pneumatikos, the spiritual, is in contrast with the natural man, the unbeliever, who has not been born from above. The natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. That is, he cannot understand the things of God. They are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them. Why? Because they are spiritually appraised and discerned. Okay. The world that we live in today never more clearly presents this than what we live in today. I'll read in the next class a little thing from England. And England has decided that the Bible is contrary to livelihood of people. They say that the Bible is incompatible with human dignity. That's what they teach. That's what they just declared. The Bible is incompatible with human dignity. Yes?
Is that the Church of England?
No, that's the government. That is according to a recent ruling by an employment tribunal in Britain. Christians must submit to LGBTQ requests or risk forfeiting their livelihood. After a Christian doctor was forced out of his job in the United Kingdom for declining to use the transgender pronoun, the employment tribunal issued a ruling affirming the dismissal, declaring his biblical beliefs on human sexuality are incompatible with human dignity. And so that's where we are. And they cannot understand the Bible. They cannot understand creation. They cannot understand salvation. They cannot understand these things. When an unbeliever listens and his heart wants to hear, God the Holy Spirit makes the gospel clear. And then when that believer is in the power of the Spirit, he makes biblical truths clear to him or her. But if not, this is the thinking of mankind. This is how far we've gone in our world. And I'll tell you right now, if the Lord does not come quickly, it's going to be getting more insane and more insane. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. All right. Now, I'm sorry?
That's the man that got fired.
Yes. Yeah, the doctor. Okay. So, verse 14. But a natural man, unbeliever, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. That is, he cannot understand the things of God. Why? They are foolishness to him. Creation, sexual identity, simple things. Man has reached a point in where the Bible talks about when they call wrong right and right wrong. That's where we are in the world today, not just America. Throughout the whole world. The world is getting darker and darker. Almost by the day. Okay, continue verse 14. They are foolishness to him. He cannot even understand them. Why? Because they are spiritually appraised. Spiritually discerned by the Holy Spirit. Verse 15. But he who is spiritual. Now we're back to Nematikos. So verse 13, combining spiritual, the Holy Spirit, with spiritual, that's a spiritual person, Nematikos. Verse 14, the natural man. Verse 15, back to the spiritual, the Nematikos. This is a new spiritual creation. The moment anyone believes in Jesus Christ during the church age, they are made again, born again, a new spiritual creation. Something you were not before. Now, not much changes. Sometimes some people do experience quite an emotional experience. Some people do not. Most do not. But as far as your vocabulary, your dress, and all that, it doesn't change immediately. Nothing really changes. And I loved Robert Duvall's movie where he was a drunken bum, and he worked at a motel in Nacogdoches, Texas, and believed in Jesus Christ, and he and the woman's son were baptized at the Baptist church. God knows it's Baptist church on Sunday morning. And on the way home, the little boy looked at him and said, "Well, I don't feel any different. Do you feel any different?" And Duval said, "No, I don't feel any different." And but you often, most of the time, you're not going to. Some people do. Some people get emotional. But they get emotional at TV commercials, too. So don't be overwhelmed by it. Now, okay, verse 15. But he who is spiritual, pneumatikos. Now, this is why I call what we're studying spiritual love. And it's to be distinguished from human love. And it is a spiritual love, so that this very title, our designation, you understand a great number of things about this love. I remember years ago when I first started calling it spiritual love, I got a couple of calls from different pastors wanting to know if they could use it. And I said, "It's not mine. If you see it, it's yours." And but what I did I call it spiritual love, one, the ultimate source of this love is from God the Holy Spirit. Spiritual love from the Holy Spirit. 1 John 4, 7 and 8, God is Spirit. Spiritual love finds its ultimate source from God. Two, the power for spiritual love. The power for this love. The power for this love, God the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Spirit. This is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, spiritual love. Three, immediate source of this love. From a new spiritual creature, only by the filling of the Holy Spirit. So it can only come from a new spiritual creature, only when he's filled with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, spiritual love. Four, nature of spiritual love. Spiritual love is the same nature as its source. Spiritual, Holy Spirit. Invisible, but real. And then five, the purpose of this love. To resolve the spiritual warfare. The purpose of spiritual love is to glorify Christ. Remember, this is Christ's love. Love one another as I have loved you. How did he love us? In the power of the Spirit. So therefore, we have the same love. So it is spiritual love. If you remember this, you will understand why spiritual love is not envious of what others have on earth, of what who or what they are on earth. It can't be. If you understand spiritual love, it can't be jealous of anything related to this earth. One's looks, one's money, one's wealth, one's success, whatever it is, it can't be. It stays with its relationship with the Lord. That's why you always want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, back to the source of jealousy or envy. Spiritual love, combats it won't allow, but what is the source of jealousy or envy? Look at chapter 3, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 3, 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual, pneumatikos, spiritual men. Brethren, term of relationship of believers. Not able to speak to you, as a pastor, teacher, communicating doctrine, as to spiritual men. Pneumatikos. I can't do that. I can't speak to you in that regard. Now, for the contrast, but as to men of flesh, or but as to fleshly. The word pneumatikos refers to spiritual, the word spiritual believer, new spiritual creature. The word fleshly is in the Greek sarkinos, S-A-R-K-I-N-O-S. That's the word fleshy. So we have pneumatikos versus sarkikos, sarkinos. Alright, verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 3. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food. Now, think about milk. Milk's good. It's not false doctrine. It's good. It's sound. But it generally will not carry you through any kind of storm. It's milk. It'll help you start to grow. It's like milk to a baby. Mother's milk. It gives it strength, growth, those kind of things. So, that's what he's saying here. He's using our human life analogy of our spiritual. So, verse 2, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food. Why? You were not able to receive it. Now here's the great problem. Indeed, even now, you're not able. So, they've not grown one bit. Not grown at all. People, one of the most important issues in our Christian life is we want to grow. And you're never too old. I don't care if you're 99, lying in bed, you're not too old. You can still be used by God. You can still be used by God, prayer, learning, growing. As long as you are alive, God has a plan. God has a plan. So, and then when he's ready to take you home, he beams us home. So, isn't that what the word in the story about? Beams us, huh? Yeah, he beams us home. So this is what he does. Now, spiritual milk, basic doctrine for the soul. Bible doctrine is what we eat or metabolize. Faith is the way we eat it and metabolize it. Now, this verse describes a horrible condition for a believer, not able to advance doctrinally, still living on milk. It's very cute to see a little infant working away on a baby bottle of milk. But if you saw a 20-year-old drinking a bottle of milk with a nipple on it, you'd, you know, wait a minute, this is not right. Something's wrong here. And spiritually, that's the way most Christians are. Most Christians are like that. That's where they are. They've not matured one bit. Basic doctrine is very good, but you've got to advance. You've got to grow. My good friend, Jody Brown, in Atlanta, Indiana. He had a church. They were babies, doctrinally. A lot of them, older people. 60s, 70s, even the 80s. But spiritually, babies. So, what Jody had to do, he went in, and he did it so well. He just started teaching a little male. Before you knew it, they started bringing their own Bibles. They'd never done that at this church. Never done that. They started bringing their own Bible. They learned how to use a table of content to look up books. They started learning some things. And now he can progress. He can go a little further and further. Now he may do as many as 10 verses in one class. And that's all that they can assume. But from where they were, that is quite a lot. In fact, he told me, he said the other day, he said, I told him that a pastor friend of mine in Dallas would be very proud of me. We spent the whole hour on one verse. But they were ready for it. Nobody complained. In fact, I won't go through the whole thing, but his church is in a little town, and they have all kinds of little functions in the town. Well, they had a big, something that's been going on for 100 years, celebration. And so, he cut the sermon short so that they could go out and have their bulletins and things out in the front and stuff. And so he just taught like 20 minutes. And he said he was so happy. This one old man came up. He said, I used to love a 20-minute sermon, but that was way too short for you. Way too short. And he said, good. He liked that. They were ready for more stuff. And but milk, you've got to know your congregation. You've got to know them. You've got to know where they are, what they can handle. And if I were at a church, couldn't get it, I wouldn't even talk about pneumaticos. Half of them would walk out. Half of them would fall asleep. See? And I wouldn't talk about sarcinos and all that. But with you, I can. And we can get these things down. Okay. So, look now at verse 3. Verse 1, contrast. You're fleshly. Verse 2, I couldn't give you milk. I give you milk, but not solid food. Still not able to do it. Verse 3, the passage we want to look at. This is an excellent verse for our study on spiritual love in 1 Corinthians 13. For you are still fleshly, sarkinos. For since, look at it, there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere men? People, nobody has to tell me when I'm out of fellowship. Now, my wife probably does sometimes. But she doesn't have to. I'm well aware. I know when I'm not. All I have to do is pay attention. What's coming out of my mouth, what I'm doing, what I'm not doing. I know. See? Now, I tell you, having said that, now my wife and I would have a discussion, is it a spiritual man who doesn't always put up things? See, and I would say, yes, a spiritual man, you don't gauge whether someone is spiritual or whether or not he puts up stuff that he takes down. See? That isn't the barometer that you use for that. She would disagree. She would say that they're spiritual and mature in all areas of life. So we would have that discussion. Okay.
Yeah, because it gets me out of spirit.
Ah! That I don't want to do. All right. Very good. Oh, for you are still fleshly, for since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like mere men? They cannot learn doctrine. Therefore, they cannot produce spiritual love. Only jealousy, envy, and the other negatives we're going to be studying. Arrogance and acting unbecoming. And notice the environment of jealousy and envy. Strife. Look what he says. There is jealousy and strife. Jealousy creates an environment, first of all, in your own soul, and then it creates an environment in your life, wherever an overt environment. And here that overt environment is characterized as strife. You as a believer have a choice. Either the environment of spiritual love or the environment of jealousy and envy, which produces strife. For you, continue verse 3, we're looking at it. For you are still, there's the key word, still, fleshly. You're not able to take in advanced doctrine. And you're still not able. For you are still in a condition resembling fleshly. Eikos, spiritual relationship. Einos, natural relationship. They're resembling a natural relationship. Sarkinos. That I-N-O-S is always a natural relationship. Ikos, hematikos, I-K-O-S, spiritual relationship. Now, what in the world is fleshly? Okay, let's take a look. 2:14. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit, for they are a foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. Look at 3:1. 3:1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual, but as to men of the flesh. See? And so we have a contrast. Spiritual, the flesh. And let me just point out, the main thing in 1 Corinthians 2 is talking about believer, unbeliever. But when you and I are out of fellowship, we resemble the fleshly man. We resemble and we live in our carnal state. That's why in Colossians, take off the old man, put on the new man. Take off the old man because you were saved from that. Put on the new man for which you were saved toward. So, you're either right now, every day in your life, every minute, we're either pneumatikos or sarkinos, one or the other. We're either spiritual or fleshly. See, one or the other. Now, 3:3. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3. For you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere men? Okay. Well, I have some things here I don't think I'm ready to go through. I had it down for this morning, but I think we'll... let's look at 2:14 is a soulish man. Look at 2:14. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he, because they are spiritually appraised. And so we have the soulish in 2:14. Spiritual, 3:1. Pneumatikos. Fleshly, sarkinos. Brief etymology. Psukikos, pertaining to the psuche, or the soul. Immaterial life. Pneumatikos, pertaining to the pneuma, the Holy Spirit. Sarkinos, pertaining to sarkinos, flesh. So, you're either pneumatikos, sarkinos. Spiritual, fleshly, all the time. It's amazing, everybody's fighting about who's a woman, who's a man. Really, it should be down who's spiritual and who's not. Who's filled with the Holy Spirit, who's not. That's the great issue in the body of Christ. That's the great issue that we should be concerned about. This is why Paul used food as his analogy. Food for the flesh, food for the material part of man. We all need food. And so doctrine is food for the spiritual man. So it's very genius of the Holy Spirit teaching Paul talk about food. The fleshly man, we need food. I'm not going to talk about it too much longer. We'll get hungry. But we all need food. Well, in our spiritual man, we need food. Now the problem is we recognize when we're hungry physically. People have not learned to really recognize when they haven't been taken in the Word. They slough it off, ignore it, or try to fill that vacuum with something else, some other activity. It's a shame. But just as our fleshly body needs fleshly food, people, our spiritual body needs spiritual food. Advanced doctrine. Advanced doctrine. See? When we were children and babies, milk, and is it Goobers? Is that it?
Gerbers.
I remember years ago, had a family stand with me, and I had a little baby, and they woke up. Baby needed some. I said, I'll go. Y'all aren't dressed. I'll go. And I went to the store, and boy, did I regret it. There were 500 different types of Gerbers food. I called him up and I said, what in the world do you want? It's all here. And then we give them more different type of food and different food. And what's interesting to me is how quickly as we start to grow, Brussels sprouts. God did not intend for man to eat Brussels sprouts. But my sister loves it. She loves spinach. And all that stuff. See? And so we start developing. Well, you've got to learn to eat what's good for you, whether you like it or not. You've got to learn. So I've learned to eat T-bone steaks, prime rib, things that are good for me, see? Well, the same thing, people, is true in the spiritual realm. You've got to advance. And there are all kinds of food in the spiritual realm. I call myself a general practitioner. I'm not a specialist. I'm thankful for specialists. Some people specialize in prophecy. That's their specialty. That's where they spend all their time. So they can see things and verses, and I've got to cover everything. I can't just pick out prophecy and do that. I've got to teach whatever is in the verse, see? So I'm a general practitioner. But I'm thankful for specialists. People who specialize in certain fields. That's very good. See? But we all need advanced doctrine to keep growing. And keep growing. So, this is the great issue. I have never in my life, I have in my life seen people way overweight with fleshly food. I have never seen anyone way overweight with spiritual food. If they're arrogant, it's because they're not in the Holy Spirit. If you're in the Holy Spirit, you don't get spiritually fat, overweight. You're just right where you are. Okay, now, so food is the analogy. This is why I call this love, spiritual love, only from a spiritual being, therefore spiritual love. And that's the point of this, of our study, and why we've gone back to 1 Corinthians and taken a look at these things. Now, let's look at verse 1 again. Paul rebuttals them with being fleshly, being of the flesh, but associates this with their natural growth. Alright? Verse 1, but I cannot speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of the flesh, as infants, babies, in Christ. So he takes a natural thing, if we all understand what an infant is, then he makes that a spiritual infant. See? What we are spiritually. And there is nothing wrong with being a baby or immature. Unless you stay there. And you never grow. But both naturally and spiritually. Nothing wrong with being a natural baby. As long as you do grow. Nothing wrong in being a spiritual baby. As long as you do grow. Now, verse 3. Let's move to verse 3. Paul really lets them have it. He calls them sarkinos. That's an insult. Sarkinos. Now what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you sarkinos, S-A-R-K-I-N-O-S. Sarkinos. Point one, made of flesh. Made of flesh. For the believer, resembling flesh or resembling an unbeliever. Sarkinos. Natural. Cannot be helped. If it can't help being an infant, so what's the point being made? For the Christian, unnatural and can and should be prevented. Should have started to grow. Point three, this is all under sarkinos, fleshly. Ends have positive volition to the gospel. The unbeliever's status as an unbeliever ends the moment they hear the gospel and responds to the gospel. As far as the believer is concerned, continues to follow the norm and standard of the flesh. Believed in Christ, continues to live like the unbeliever. And people, they're saved forever. No loss of salvation. But they'll grow, no growth. And then finally four, used sarkinos, used to describe unbeliever. A new baby believer. But when it comes to the believer, describes a believer not filled with the Holy Spirit, it's an insult. To be called sarkinos, for a believer to be called that, is an insult. Should not be called that. For you, verse 3, for you are still fleshly, sarkinos, therefore no spiritual love. No spiritual love. And since there is no spiritual love, look what Paul immediately goes to. For since there is jealousy, flesh, no spiritual love, the first thing that comes about, jealousy. Spiritual love is not jealous. The cure to being jealous is spiritual love. The cure to being jealous is to grow in the Word of God and live in the power of the Holy Spirit. But it's really interesting. I hope you can see what I'm doing here. You are still fleshly. Jealousy. Spiritual love is not jealous. The first thing said in the negative of spiritual love. And strife among you. Instead of spiritual love, jealousy, envy. No ability from the spiritual self for spiritual love. People, they are born again, saved, but the flesh nature cannot produce spiritual love. It can only be produced by God the Holy Spirit. Don't try to produce spiritual love in the flesh. This is what most Christians do. There's a wonderful phrase in the Bible. Put on Christ. How do I do that? So, what I'm going to do, read verses and try to copy and act like Christ. That's all I know to do. It's not what it means. What does it mean to put on Christ? See? We studied that in Colossians. We'll see the same principle in Ephesians. What does all that mean? You cannot do it in the flesh. The unbeliever cannot do it at all. The believer cannot do it in the flesh. All right, now, for since there is jealousy, this is the word of our study, zelos, jealousy. Where does jealousy come from? The source. The source is the flesh nature, fleshly. So, whenever you experience jealousy, you know immediately, I'm in the flesh. I'm not in the Holy Spirit. I'm in the flesh. I'm jealous of that person for whatever reason. I'm jealous of that person for whatever reason. See? I'll tell you, I'll share with you, one of the problems in getting old, you got to be very careful not to be jealous of a young buck, young stallion. He's 25, strong, healthy, my grandson. See? Healthy, handsome, young. See? All that stuff. Okay, I'm happy for him. I'm happy for him. Go and enjoy it. I got to be in bed by 10, so you go out and enjoy all night. See? You learn to be content with who you are in Christ. You learn to be content with who you are in Christ, where you are in Christ. And that prevents jealousy. But jealousy could be for any number of reasons. Got to be very careful with jealousy. It comes from remember, jealousy is the immune system of our flesh nature. Anytime the flesh nature feels threatened, somebody compliments someone else. Well, wait a minute, what about me? Wait a minute, what about what I do? Wait a minute, what about this? What about that? See? So, jealousy protects who and what we are in the flesh. Spiritual love protects who and what we are in Christ, and therefore is never jealous. Can you imagine Christ being jealous? No. So neither are we. Not jealous when we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. Okay, for since among you, jealousy, source of jealousy, the flesh nature. There are two natures inside of every one of us. The flesh nature and the spiritual nature. And people, they're always fighting. It's not bad tacos. It's not eating late at night that causes a lot of this. It's the flesh fighting with the spirit. There's a battle going on inside. See? That's what's happening. And they are at war with each other. Galatians chapter 5 covers this battle that's going on inside of us. Now notice what comes from jealousy within a local church. Within the local church. And strife among you. This is the environment in a local church of jealousy and envy. The local church at Corinth, with all their doctrine, with all their spiritual gifts, and remember chapter 1, they have every spiritual gift they could possibly want. They are not lacking in any spiritual gift. They're not lacking in great teachers. They've had Paul, Peter, Apollos. They've had them all. That's their problem. They had all these people, and they never absorbed what they were being taught. So, this is the environment that's come up in the church in Corinth. From flesh self comes jealousy. And from jealousy comes strife. You feel threatened that others have an advantage over you. Then you resent that others have this advantage. You understand how this works? First of all, you're jealous of them. And that jealousy, you feel threatened. Your flesh nature feels threatened that others have that advantage. And then you resent it. You resent others. And then add to that a mental attitude sin of dissatisfaction and prosperity of others, even with happiness of others, when compared with yourself. You know, some people cannot handle it if other people are happy. Cannot handle it. It's a shame. They're so occupied with themselves, they cannot handle it. This is why our next negative, spiritual love does not boast. It's not jealous. What does that mean? God can prosper other believers without you getting out of shape. Not boasting? What does that mean? God can prosper you without others getting out of shape. See? This spiritual love is a forms the unity between a husband and wife, people in church, family, whatever. Spiritual love is the solution. The loving as Christ loved, that's the solution. So spiritual love protects you. But I hope you see what's happening here. First of all, in the local church, it could be, all right, this group thinks Peter's great, this group thinks Paul is great, that group thinks Apollos is great. So they start talking. Well, you know, Peter this, or Paul that, well, Apollos this. And so pretty soon, become jealous of each other. I'm jealous. And then they resent. I resent you. Then they resent that person's teaching. I mean, this is very dangerous, what's going on. And then add to the mental attitude sins that it comes about. Jealousy, envy causes the person, you, to feel threatened by advantages of others, therefore causing you to oppose or dislike the fact that others have something you do not have. In your mind, you think they have those things that you do not have. Jealousy, envy says that those advantages, those prosperities, makes the other person superior to you. That's what your mind says. God is blessing them. They are superior to me. So that is going to be the whole problem. Better than you. And you resent that. After all the doctrine I have. See? People, all you need to do, now, I like to use this example, but someone pointed out, but what if I live in that neighborhood? But you drive through Highland Park or drive through over here, Preston Trail, big, big, beautiful homes, all this type of thing. See? At least we don't live in Downton Abbey where they were just mansions. I mean, 5-story, you know, 50 rooms, all this kind of thing. Drive down that street, you'd really be depressed to go to your little shack. See? But you drive by these, well, boy, God must really love them. Not at all. Not at all. People don't do that. Don't do that. It has nothing to do with that. So, we'll kind of stop here. We'll pick it up here next Sunday morning and continue in our study of jealousy and what's going on with jealousy and what's going on with envy and what's going on with spiritual love. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we hate our flesh nature sometimes. Sometimes we enjoy it. That's unfortunate. Sometimes we hate it. But how grateful we are, Father, that you've given to us a solution to it. You've given to us spiritual love to combat that nature. And Father, we thank you that it's so easy for us to have this spiritual love. It doesn't depend on us at all. It's freely given by faith. Faith in your Spirit. And He pours in spiritual love. Father, I pray your Spirit can use the things we've seen this morning to the honor and glory of Christ. In His precious name we pray. Amen.